amen, amen. If we have church, I'll tell you, pull your neighbor down right quick. Pull your neighbor down to your neighbor, the fire starter. Come on, look at them real good. Come on, you want to print it in the chat if you can. The fire starter. I feel like giving God glory. The fire starter. 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 See, when I was young back in the days, when all you needed was one mother in the back, and that mother would say, "Hiya," and before you realized it, somebody in the front said, "Hey, glory." And before you realize, somebody on the other side, the deacon would say, "Young daddy, yo, shata na 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 day." And then while the deacon started waving his hand, somebody in the front, well, usher, would just run down the aisle and say, "Hey, thank you, Jesus," because, hey, glory to God, because the fire starter is in the room. All you need, hey, somebody, I heard James Moore said, "I don't need no matches. He's fire all by himself." Glory to God. Glory to God. He's fire all by himself. Oh, my God. And I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All you need is one. All you need is one to stand up and say, "Glory, Jesus." And before you know it, yes, there'll be a tambourine player in the place. And a tambourine player will just run down the aisle and say, "God has been just good. God is always on time. Every time I need him, he come through." And I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, he's fire all by himself. He is the fire starter, the fire starter, the fire starter. We're at church right now. We're in the sanctuary. I have you go down the aisle, and I'll have you go find a praiser that's on your row and tell that praiser, say, "Praiser, he's the fire starter." Maybe that praiser didn't like you. Go down the row and find somebody else and tell that praiser, say, "Praiser, he's a fire starter." Glory to God. Whoa. Y'all, oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. He's fire all by himself. Thank you, Jesus. He is the fire starter. Grab your neighbor and pull him down real quick. I believe we're going to hit the road running today. I really believe that. We're going to hit the road running. He's a fire starter all by himself. Thank you, Jesus. Because all you need, hallelujah, is just a spark. And that thing will run off in here. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. That thing will run off in here. Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, God. Hallelujah. Hey, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Glory to God. Glory to God. Fire. Fire, fire, fire. Fire, fire, fire. Hey, are you ready? We gonna get back there in a couple minutes, because I feel something moving in the atmosphere. Oh my God, fire all by himself. Fire all by himself. I feel that thing moving. Thank you, Jesus. We're at church. I had you go get your neighbor and tell your neighbor. Oh my God, hallelujah. Fire all by himself. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Oh, fire. He's fire.
He is fire.
Fire.
He is fire.
Fire.
He is fire.
Fire. You know, the Lord is fire, and there's something going on in the atmosphere. There's revival going on. I feel old tent revival anointing. I feel old tent revival. I feel that spirit. And I'm telling you, the enemy does not want you. The enemy does not want you to be invested in what God's going to do. At the beginning of the year, we said, God, whatever you're doing in this season, do not do it without us. And right now, we're in revival season. Revival fire season. God wants to give you an encounter, a revival encounter. And I'm going to preach about that in just a second, a revival encounter. But the Lord is fire. He's a fire starter. Let's preach. He's the fire starter. Fire starter. Fire starter. Fire starter. When man discovered fire, please pay close attention if you can. When man discovered fire, life as they knew it changed drastically. For with the advent of fire providing opportunities and inventions, fire birthed a new era in life. It just not provided a source of lighting and a source of warmth and cultural advancement, it changed also the diet of a man. As I'm talking to you, your natural man, I'm really speaking to your spiritual man and spiritual truths and spiritual wisdoms to your inner man to stir up and stoke your flames and stoke the flames of your spiritual man. You need fire. And that's a good fire need, and a good fire needs a good wind. Fresh wind from God blowing in your life will keep fire burning. I like to barbecue, and as you have seen many of my videos on Facebook, is I try to be a humble barbecue chef. And you have seen my videos before when I have been trying to barbecue. And when my coals seem to be going down, I open up the vents and open it up good enough so that a good airflow can get on the coals that have been seemingly died down. And when fresh wind gets on those coals, the fire catches back up. Tell your neighbor, the fresh wind will cause your coals to be relighted. In the text preceding this one, we see that Moses had gone to the place that was calling unto him, the place that causes Moses to turn and pursue what God had in front of him, the place that caused Moses to have vision, the place that stirred Moses' attention, the place that stirred Moses' affections, the place that stirred Moses' passions. He saw the bush ahead of him. He saw the flame ahead of him, and he began to go toward his passion, go toward his pursuit, go toward what was calling him, go to his dream, go to his future. And when Moses got to that place, my brothers and sisters, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that there is a place that you can get to. And when you get to that place, the place which caused him to turn away from what he was living, and just not naturally, but mentally. For Moses, for the Bible says, in him I live, and for him I move, and for him I have that my being. Can I tell you that every one of us has that place of him we move, the place of him we live, the place of in him we have our being. The question is, my brothers and sisters, are you in that place where you live, where you move, and have your being in Christ? If you are not in that place, I have some good news and some steps to help you and I get to that place where in him we live, where in him we move, and where him we have our being. The reason why our stress is so high, because we're not in the place in him we live, in the place in him we move, and in the place in him we have our being. Why? Because in that place, glory to God, the Lord speaks. In that place, the Lord is talking to you and I. In that place, the Lord is speaking to you and I. And my brothers, can I tell you something? And maybe you've heard pastors say this before. All the devil doing is talking, but he's not speaking to you. Only God can speak to you. The devil can only talk to you. Hallelujah. But when God speaks to you, thank you, Jesus. He moves. He moves. He moves. He moves. Everything becomes still when God talks to you. Everything becomes subject when God talks to you. When God is speaking in the building, glory to God. No musician can play. No drummer can drum. No singer can sing. Why? Because all I want to do is hear from the Lord. And I don't know about you. I'm desperate for hear the voice of the Lord to a point where all I got to do is put the mic down and have God say what he has to say. Because the Bible indicates to me that where Jesus was, that the heavens opened up and there was a voice from heaven, and he said, this is my son. God speaks, and I need God to speak to you. And you and I must get to that place. Can I tell you that everyone has that place where we won't be satisfied until we get there. I come to make a prophetic declaration that you are going to get there. I want to look you in your face, and I need you to look at your neighbor in the face, and I need you and I to prophesy together. I need you and I to prophesy this together. Tell your neighbor, you and I are going to get to that place of satisfaction, that place where God can speak to me. The thing that I like in the text is that when Moses got his vision, got to the consuming bush, the Lord began to speak to Moses. I like what the God said. Moses said, and when he got to the place, God began to speak. And when he got to the place, God began to speak. And God is speaking. And God is speaking. And when God spoke to him, he said, Moses, I'm glad you finally came. I've been waiting for you a long time. Can I just put it like this? When Moses got to the place and he began to God said, Moses, don't take another step. I need you to take off your shoes. The Lord began to speak to Moses to remove his shoes because I need to touch you at the level of your walking. He told Moses, take off your shoes. I need to touch you at the level of where you've been walking. Because where you've been walking is not, hallelujah, what I have for you. Is there anybody in the building with the level they've been walking hasn't got to know that's not where God has for you? So God told Moses, I need you to come up higher. I need you to pull yourself up. I need you to come get in this place. Because when you get in this place, I'm going to speak a word to your life. So Moses got to the place. The Bible said Moses, God told Moses, take off your shoes. Because the place where you're standing is holy. I believe Moses having a Christian experience. Because when God told Moses, I'm going to change your life. I'm going to change your walk. The Lord told Moses, but speak to Moses, remove your shoes because I need to touch with the level you're walking. I need you to get comfortable walking in holy things. He told Moses, this ground that you're on is holy ground. I need you to take off your shoes because I'm going to raise your level of walking and you need to get comfortable walking around in heavenly things. Thank you, Jesus. You have walked so much in your life without me, without my touch. I can imagine God telling Moses, you have walked so much in your life without my touch, without my feel. You have not been walking at me, but now I need you to walk your walk. I need you to take off your shoe, because I need you to walk with me. I need you to walk with me. I'm not going to walk with you because you may take me someplace I don't want to go. I'm not walking with you. I need you to walk with me. My brothers and sisters, sometimes we ask God to go places that God does not want to go. You say, God, you tell him, God, go down there. God be like, wait a minute. I'll go where you are, but that don't mean I want to be there. Because God wants you to follow him. And so God said, so God told him, take off his shoes. I'm going to take off his shoes. He said, I want you to get comfortable walking in holy things. I need to touch you at the level of your walking. Remove your shoes that you can walk in me, not just for me. Walk in me, Jesus. For in him I live, and in him I move, and in him I walk, in Moses. For all around you is affected with me. Even the ground, God says, even Moses, I tell you, Moses, because I sit high and you are low, I'm going to affect even the low places so that you can come up again. In verse 6 of Exodus chapter 3, God began to introduce himself to Moses. Moses, before you go any further, when Moses got to the burning bush, Moses took off his shoes and Moses began to walk. And God told Moses, Moses, stay right there. Because before I let you come closer. Oh my God. I didn't even see that. Before I let you come closer to me, I must introduce to you who I am. That's why God says, I am in chapter 6. He says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And I like the way God does this, because every time I've read in the Bible, just a few times, more than one occasion, that God uses this particular resume. When God wants to prove his point, he uses this particular resume. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I believe God is saying, I need you to research who Abraham and who Isaac and who Jacob is, because he said, I'm the God. Because this is how I operate. Before you, Moses, before you even come close to me, before you and I even get into a covenant relationship with me, I need to explain the dynamics of who I am to you. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But to the average ear, that may have not mean nothing. But when you begin to research about who God is, the God of Abraham, and the Abrahamic story was, Abraham was not brought up in the house of God. But Abraham heard a voice one day and left all he had to follow the voice of God. The Bible says that Abraham left all he had. The Bible says not only he left all he had, he left his father's house. He left his father's lands. He left everything he had back then. He left his comfort zone. He left his inheritance. Oh my God. He left everything he had and followed a voice. A voice he did not see. He just followed a voice. Abraham followed the voice of God so much that God told Abraham, if you follow this voice, I'm going to give you a faithful promise, and I'm going to give you an encounter with that promise. And not only am I going to give you a promise, I'm going to keep the promise. I'm going to provide for you more than you know. And Abraham said that God is named Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Then he said, I'm the God of Isaac. Isaac was the promised seed, good God Almighty, who was born to a barren womb. Thank you, Jesus. If you follow the text, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, every one of their wives was barren. They could not have children until God spoke a word. So here is Isaac. Isaac was the promised seed, was born of a barren woman, the son of Abraham, the son of Isaac. He was the one who had a half-brother whose name was Ishmael, but Ishmael was not the promise. How many times in our life we have Ishmaels walking around in our lives and we are connected to things that's not our promise? But God said, I'm the God of Isaac. Why? Because he is the promise. And the Bible says that Isaac wrestled with God. He wrestled with God until so much that God said, the angel said, I got to get out of here. But Isaac said, I don't care about none of that. I'm going to wrestle with you until I win. You mean to tell me that a human man wrestled with an angel all night long? But while he was wrestling, the angel said, let me go. But Isaac said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, oh God. But he said like this, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me in indeed. Thank you, Jesus. Abraham's son, got God to bless him. Indeed, he blessed him so much. Good God Almighty, he blessed him so much that he became the protector. Isaac became the protector of the promise of the keeping of God. And then there was Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. the grandson of Sarah and the son of Isaac, who stole his birthright, ran away to a distant country, gave his talents and ability to his uncle, who was cheating him because he fell in love with a woman. And because he fell in love with her, hallelujah, he would not let him go. So God had to intervene and tell the uncle, if you keep messing around with the promise, I, the Lord thy God, is going to take care of you. My brothers and sisters, can I tell you something, brothers and sisters, as I get ready to close? When there's a promise on your life, if the enemy keep messing around with the promise, the Bible tells me in Genesis that God gave Laban, Jacob's uncle, a dream. And when God gave Laban, Jacob's uncle, a dream, because Jacob's uncle had been cheating Jacob, even though Jacob was a cheater himself. He was cheating a man who was a cheater. Hallelujah. Cheating a man was a cheater because Jacob was the trickster. He was one who disguised himself. He was one that looked differently. But God told Laban, after Jacob had worked over 20-something years, 14 years, for a bride. But after the first 7 years, a trick happened. He thought he was getting ready to marry his love, Rachel. But they moved Rachel in and threw Leah in there. How do you feel when the promise is before you and the enemy brings something ahead of you that looks like the promise, smells like the promise, acts like the promise, but in the inside, it's the fake? And so here she was. She was married, and he woke up in the morning and said, wait a minute, you ain't the one I was promised to. Then he got out of his tent and ran and told his uncle, what did you do? His uncle said, well, wait a minute, I got another deal for you. Isn't that just like the devil? After he make something, after he trick you, then he come back and say, you know what? Let me help you get out of the trick. The devil told Jacob, after I trick you, let me get you out of the trick. Work for me another 7 years, and I'll give you my daughter. And so he worked for him. And after the 7 years, Isaac's gift on his life, Isaac's promise on his life, I'm sorry, Jacob's promise on his life began to bless Laban's house. How many of you know when God has a call on your life, God has a call on your life, sometimes your gift will bless somebody else before your gift blesses you. And sometimes that is the way of coming up, your gift had to bless somebody else, and then all of a sudden your gift start blessing you. But while his gift was blessing him, while the enemy was using the gift of God on an anointed vessel, a covenant partner, God gave Laban a dream. And God told Laban, I'll tell you one thing. You tricked him long enough. Aren't you glad that God will intervene? Verses, I got something to tell you. You got to know that God will intervene. Matter of fact, I need you to write that in the chat. God will intervene. I don't know about you, but I have seen it for myself that God will intervene. When the enemy act up, God knows how to get the enemy back in line. God knows how to get the enemy back on track. Because when the enemy act up, God says, I want to show you, thank you, Jesus, that I can intervene. I'm still in control. Can I tell you something? And you may not know this. Don't you know the enemy has a boss? Do you know the devil? Satan himself has a boss. He has the answer to God. So when you begin to pray, what you begin to do is go to HR, human resources. And when you're in human resources, you begin to file your complaint. Your prayer is your petition in front of the enemy. And when you begin to file your prayer to the petition of the enemy, you file it. When you're praying, you go into HR. Good God Almighty. And when you're going to HR, when you're in HR, HR has an HR head. And that head says, give me your complaint. Because I'm not going to have you bullied. I'm not going to have this unconditional work conditions for you. So I'm telling you, the devil has a boss. And all you got to do is start filing complaints against this enemy. And when you file complaints against this enemy, God will give him his walking papers. My brothers and sisters, can I tell you, God will intervene. You ought to tell your neighbor, God will intervene. So here as I close, David, God told Moses, I need you. And I need to give my resume out to you because I want to tell you these three things about me. I am your Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord that will provide. I'm the Lord of the promise. My brother, that's one thing I gotta hone in on that. And I'm getting ready to close, but you gotta know he's the Lord of the promise. That means he watches over it to perform it. The Bible tells me that he says, I will watch over my word, the Lord of the promise, to perform it. You have a promise over your life, and that promise is going to be activated. Hear what I'm telling you. My brothers and my sisters, I'm closing, I'm prophesying to you. The promise on your life is going to be activated. And when it's going to be activated, are you ready for the activation? Because many of us say, God, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And God said, are you sure? Because I cannot give it to you half. When God get ready to give you the promise, he can't give you the promise half. He must give it to you whole. He must give it to you how it comes out of his hand. When God begin to give you blessings, when God begin to give you words, when God begin to give you gifts, he don't give it to you half a gift. He give you the whole gift. It's up to you to discover how, oh my God, it's up to you to discover what, how big the gift is and how glorious the gift could be. But are you ready for God to really move in your life? This week when I was praying, I'm done. And when I was praying, he was like, are you really ready for the promise? And I was like, yes, Lord. I was laying out, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. He said, are you really ready for the promise? Yes, 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 yes. But then when he asked me the third time, I said, wait a minute, maybe something up. Maybe something up. Or maybe there's something in me that I must open the capacity to be able to absorb the full promise. Because when God wants to give it to you, he gives it to you like him. When God give you stuff, he give it to you like him, not like you. And you and I got to come into that knowledge that God wants to give to you the promises. When he told Moses, come up here. I gotta get you to walk around holy things. Because when you walk around holy things, it's going to open your capacity up. Because when you walk around things of the holiness, when you walk around the holy God, holy things, you become smaller, he becomes greater. And when you begin to say, yes, Lord, I really want to be around the things of the holiness. Because you know what? I'm going back to the old way. Holiness is right. Everything else is wrong. I've seen where they're going. I've seen where they're going. And I got to tell you something, my brothers and sisters. The enemy is a liar. And he's trying his best to pull us down a lane and a road that the enemy has designed that looks like God, smells like God. But it has not the effectiveness of God. Because I've come to notice one thing. My brothers and my sisters, when God does something for you, he does it. The Bible says he blesses us and he gives us no sorrow with it. If you got a blessing and there's sorrow with it, that's not from God. Because God said, I bless you with no sorrow added. I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, there's a promise on your life. And God wants you to have an encounter with him with the promise. When Moses got to the burning bush, what Moses was seeing was an encounter with God. And God said, Moses, in this encounter, things around me are holy. In this encounter, Moses, you got to know that I don't want nothing else from you. What I want from you is just your total commitment of the word yes. Because if you give me the total commitment of the word yes, I'll show you who I am. And Moses, I'm just giving you a glimpse of who I am. And if you thought the burning bush was something, if you thought, good God Almighty, that the burning bush was something, wait till you see who I am in my capacity. Wait till you see who I am when I'm unrevealed. Wait till you see where I am when you put me to action. Because I'm just burning right here. But I don't want to burn just in this mountain. I want to burn inside of you, my brothers and my sisters. As I read these texts, I want you to know that God does just not want to burn in the Bible. God does not want to burn in the text. He wants to burn inside of you. He wants to consume you so much that when all you got to do is get around somebody who's dry, somebody who needs fire, and you will find out that the consuming fire of God is in my life. I want to tell you, my brothers and my sisters, as I get ready to close, I'm coming home now. I want you to know there's a consuming fire. I like the song, consuming fire, sweet perfume, your awesome presence fills this room. Good God Almighty, I want you to know he's looking to consume you. I need you to write in the chat, consume me, God. Take over my life. Open my capacity, for I can scream with you. Open my capacity, for I can pray with you. Open my capacity, for I can fast with you. Open my capacity. Oh Lord, consume me. Consume me till I burn with the Holy Ghost fire. Consume me till I burn with the light of God. Consume me till I burn with the light of God. Oh God, I heard the Baptist church saying, Lord, if you please, shine, 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 shine on me. I need you to burn so much that what's inside of me does not affect me. I need you to burn so much that when they see me, they see you. Holy Spirit, burn. Sit on me. Let me be what you call me to be. I'm willing. I'm willing to go. I'm willing, God, with all my heart, with all my soul. Burn in me till my prayer life get better. Burn in me till my giving gets better. Burn in me till I'm living better. Burn in me till I'm talking better. Burn in me. Yes, God, I need you to burn, burn, burn in me. Hallelujah. Burn in me. Burn, burn, burn in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If we were that church, I tell you, go grab your neighbor by the hand, shake him and rock him, rock him and shake him, pull him and hook him, and tell him, neighbor, you and me, don't be consumed with the fire of God. You and me, don't be consumed until God move in our life. I'm not going nowhere until God burn in my life. I'm not leaving nowhere until God burn in my life. Oh God, yeah God, only God, ever God, burn in me. Yes God, only God, Jehovah God, burn in me. Burn me up, Lord. Yes God, do it in me and I'll be made whole. Burn in me, burn in me, burn in me. Because you're the fire starter. When God began to talk to Moses, he said, Moses, the reason why I want to do this for you is because I'm not just God of yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the God who wants to be in your life yesterday, today, and forever. Whenever God tells you, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says, I want to be in your life yesterday, today, forever. I want to lead you yesterday, today, forever. And if you let me lead you yesterday, today, forever, you'll get to that place where I speak to you. Because the enemy, all he wants to talk to you. But God says, let me speak to you. And when God is speaking to you, the song says, speak to my heart. Holy Spirit, give me a holy word that will bring new life. God wants to speak to you, to bring a holy word in your life. Brothers and sisters, we are in the times of revival. Over the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, service has been just revivalish. I don't even know if that's a word or not, but I'm going to use it today. revivalish. We have had such a revivalism going on in the atmosphere. And I know that we're calling on the one who can revive you. You need revival in your life. You need fire in your life. Your life needs to be rekindled. Some of you even need rekindling in your homes, in your relationships, in your family, in your prayer life, in your reading life, in your happiness life. Because you know what? As I'm talking to you, I see some of you have not even laughed in a long time. And the struggle has been real. But can I tell you why the struggle has been real? God wants to open a door that when you get in, that's why all of you need a book. All of you need a room. Can I tell you this? Everybody needs a room. First day's getting ready to come. We're going to get ready to give. All of us need a room where we can go and tell God, you can visit me here.